I got something here. I want to see if you know what this is.
A cue.
A cue. That's right.
Yeah, I'm right there.
Hello and welcome from deep inside Jolly Roger's studio. This is the Q Filmcast. And whether you're online, listening worldwide, or perhaps nationwide on one of our affiliate stations, thanks for tuning in. If you don't yet know, or perhaps you stumbled upon us by chance, we are the show which brings to you our review of a particular film currently available on Netflix Instant. We take turns queuing it up. We come in here. We go around the table. We let you know what we thought. And this week, we're queuing up the extremely violent yet stunningly,
yeah.
You want to get that out of the way?
Yeah. Okay. Let's get that out of the way right now.
Yeah, let's back up. Extremely violent yet stunningly accomplished tale of murder and revenge. It's a Korean film. I saw the
South Korean film. That's important. That's important.
In North Korean, violent films are called documentaries.
Yeah, it's called the local news.
Right.
No, this week here it is, guys. We have the South Korean film. I saw the devil. Thanks for pointing that out, Savage. You're right. It should be the South Korean
film.
It
is the South Korean film.
I saw the devil from director Kim Ji Woon. So if you've seen it, keep listening to see if you agree or disagree. If not, keep listening to see if it's something you may want to queue up yourself. Right, Max?
Yes. Yeah. You must queue it up and view it and stay with us.
That's right.
And you should knock it out, too, as well.
Yeah, so that's the way this game is played.
Yeah, and knock it out as well.
That's the way this game is played. So once again, greetings. I'm Michael, along with James Hardsub Savage.
What's up, Maestro?
I'm never going to answer that question again.
Fair enough.
That's forever going to be a riddle wrapped in an enigma.
In a glass cage of emotion.
In a glass cage of emotion, yeah. with a little side of guacamole, just for you.
No, not for me.
And I bring that up because that is Max Gumbo Johnson. Let's just make it official.
Yeah. Is it official?
It's Max Gumbo Johnson.
There's still always be Gumby Bears to me.
It's always Gumby Bears to Maddie.
I will never call you my Gumby Bear.
Gumby Bears.
Max, what's going on, man? You ready?
Oh, ready as I'll ever be. I am prepped and polished and ready to fire.
Matt.
Yeah.
The patron saint of quality outerwear. There he is.
That's me.
Always here. Always excited to have you.
Hello.
There he is. We can't leave out the greatest producer in the history of the Q Filmcast. That is Adam the Bomb Rogers.
Anyang.
Don't know what that meant.
Anyang.
Anyang.
I get it. I get it.
Something about an onion?
I think he's blooming over
there. He's saying hello in Korean.
There it is.
He just said oblong.
Anyang.
Anyang.
Oblong.
I get it. Don't worry.
Yeah.
Rest of development.
It's a joke, buddy.
Oh. All
right. So let's talk about how to keep up with us, because you can do that as well. You have your Facebook. You have your Twitter. You have your iTunes. You can certainly find us there. If you go there, 5-star review. Right, Max?
Sure.
Of course. What
are you going to back me up? 5-star review. Okay. Whatever.
It's got to be 5.
Better yet, go to our site, theqfilmcast.net. All sorts of stuff there. Also, check our free Android app.
Mm-hmm. Which is Google Play swimmingly. Store.
Which is going along swimmingly. Yeah. Apparently it works pretty well. Is that correct, producer?
Yes.
All right, guys, let's get into it. We have a little bit to talk about here because this is a bit of a special episode.
Yeah,
it's going to require
is,
some special attention.
Doesn't feel special.
Right.
Feels
no,
normal.
I'll tell you why it's special in just normal. 1 second. This is the I Saw the Devil 2010 episode. And if that's your thing, this may be your thing too. So let's see if we can get it there. Let's see if that happens. This is a listener episode. You want to know why it's special?
Because it's a listener episode.
How special is that?
But she's not just a listener, right?
I'm going to get into that.
Okay.
Let me give a proper introduction to our listener, because here I am tweeting away the other day and we're thinking, hey, let's have a listener episode. Boom, there she is. Who is she? Kelly O'Neill at Kelly UAINE.
We love you, Kelly.
Hey, Kelly.
Lots of love. And she's from Edmonton, Alberta, Canadian.
Boo.
That's right.
Hey,
or, as they say, the Big E, the Chuck Oil City, the city of champions. Kelly O'Neill, fantastic. I'm glad she's playing along here.
Yeah.
It felt like destiny. It felt like destiny, didn't it?
No.
Yeah, it did. It did. I was tweeting. Shut up. She's an Irish Italian. Latte addicted.
So am I.
Hot
couture.
Loving but can't afford it. Film alcoholic.
That's awful.
Filmaholic who co-runs at the U of A Film Society. That's our listener episode. This is the Kelly O'Neill appreciation episode.
Hey, Kelly. Thanks for playing along.
Yeah, and she really gave us a little bit to chew on here with I Saw the Devil.
Oh.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
It's a long movie, Kelly.
Well, it's a surprising girl pick.
I think that she has some film chops, though. I think she knows exactly what the show needed. I said, hey, look, here's the avenue we want to go in. We want to go down.
Sure.
We don't want to back up Casa de Mi Padre with something that's not going to be offsetting. Give us something.
Yeah.
Give us something with some, what's the word I'm looking for?
Gravitas.
Some bite gravitas, right. So I asked her, I said, all right, why did you want to cue up the film I Saw the Devil? Let's just tell you what she said. Okay. Here's her basic review. I'm going to let her lead it off. We're going to follow her lead. She says, the reason I thought this would be a great film for you guys to review is not only because recently Korean filmmakers have been up and coming in North America in terms of making their American debuts, but mainly because Korean cinema tends to take a genre that Hollywood has perfected and done over so many times and adds a twist to them, totally turning the unexpected film on its head, making the expected film a totally new experience for the audience. Your cop movie is no longer your typical cop movie. Your serial killer is no longer being chased for 4 hours. Your lover's no longer torn apart by some completely insurmountable force. They make the old new again, and it makes for a great viewing experience. I give this an 8.5.
Oh. She's not allowed to do that.
Why can't she do that?
We're not allowed to do that.
No, she can go 8 or 9.
No, she can give her 8, whatever it is. She doesn't know what 8 she's given because we haven't decided on a currency yet.
Yeah, but we're gonna load this up.
Right.
Okay, well, so she gives 8.5.
Maybe the next episode, I'll tell you, we're going
to
put her at 8.5.
That joke.
Next episode, she can tell us whether she goes back to an 8 or up to a 9. Maybe we'll ask her that. All right, let's get into the film. Right now, let's do this. Directed by Kim Ji-woon. We talked about that. Stars two dudes. Should I give it a shot? A
couple Korean guys.
Yes,
a couple really, really good Korean actors. Is there any point to go beyond that? Byung Hung Lee and Min Ski Chow. How about Hung and Ski? Is that fine?
Hung Ski and Hutch.
Come on. I think
someone's tickling Savage's foot with a feather.
I'm telling you.
Hunksky and Hutch. Come on, that's funny.
Is it like Turner and Hutch? No, it's Turner and Hooch.
Turner and Hooch.
All right, let's talk about this then, what it inspired. It inspired our top three. You want me to just say it?
Go ahead. We've had
discussion, and this is our top three deranged film characters in movies.
Yeah.
There's more than three, by the way.
No, there's
plenty.
It's our top three.
All right.
That's going to be a lot of fun. So that's going to come up at the end of the episode. And when you talk about what this film inspired, they would inspire that.
Yeah.
Many other things as well. The director, he also directed Tale of Two Sisters, The Good, the Bad, and the Weird. Anybody seen these films?
Nope.
I own most of them.
Okay.
Well, I've seen Tale of Two Sisters.
Of course you do.
Did you really? You actually saw
it? I own Tale of Two Sisters.
Okay. Of course you do.
All right, well.
It's because I have an eclectic taste in film. That's what happens when you watch a lot of movies.
Everybody talks about The Good, the Bad, and the Weird. But anyways, enough of that. This is the film we're talking about here. His latest. I think it's his latest. I Saw the Devil. Ratings. Let's get into that. IMDb, 7.8. Hoodie, what do you think of that?
Yep.
Okay. Rotten Tomatoes. Yeah, yep, that's about it. Yeah. Rotten Tomatoes. Your critics gave it. Man, look at this. This is some fresh fruit. This is 80% on Rotten Tomatoes with the critics.
Mm-hmm. About the same.
You think so?
About the same. 7.8, 80%, yeah.
Users are bumping this one up to 86, though. All right, let's talk about what you have here, and then we're going to get into our round the table, tell you what we thought.
Right.
Obviously, Kelly O'Neill, 8.5. We're going to give her the 0.5 on this. We're going to stick with our standard 1 through 10. But yeah, let's talk about what this film is. I Saw the Devil is a shockingly violent tale of murder and revenge. Old boys Choi Min-sik plays a dangerous psychopath who kills for pleasure. The embodiment of pure evil, he has committed horrifying and senselessly cruel serial murders on defenseless victims. Successfully eluding capture by the police, on a freezing, snowy night, his latest victim is the beautiful daughter of a retired police chief and pregnant fiancé of an elite special agent. Obsessed with revenge, he decides to track down the murderer, even if doing so means becoming a monster himself. And when he finds the killer, turning him into the authorities is the last thing on his mind. The lines between good and evil fall far away in this diabolically twisted game of cat and mouse, pushing the concept of revenge to its most extreme limits. What do you think?
Sounds about right.
Yeah, all right, let's get into it.
That's that movie.
But listen, before we do that, why don't we just take a second and listen to a piece of this film. I don't know if this is going to be a full trailer. We'll find something for you.
Thieves stole a trailer. A volunteer was sleeping in his tent when he heard a loud noise at about 3:30 this morning. He saw a dark-colored pickup truck hauling away the trailer.
It's really upsetting. It really hurts, you know.
If you see it or have any information, call the Clark County Sheriff's Office.
Okay, guys, there you go. There's a piece from I Saw the Devil, the 2010 film that we're talking about right now. Yeah, all right, let's go. Let's do this thing. Did you know that the Korean Media Rating Board forced Kim to recut the film for its theatrical release, objecting to its violent content? What are they talking about?
That is crazy.
Otherwise, the film would have gotten a restricted rating, preventing any sort of release in theaters or on home video. The currency. We have a currency every show, too. We don't do thumbs up. We don't do thumbs down. We don't do stars. Why? Because it's stupid. Stupid, isn't it?
Well, stupid. Thumbs down.
It's cliche, and that's not what we are.
No, no. We're not like that. We let the film tell us what we want.
Exactly.
And tonight, this film says blown arteries, guys. It was screaming it.
Yeah.
Squirting
it. It just came to us like an epiphany. It's like it's blown arteries.
Like in a spray. Yeah. Like an arterial spray.
Yeah. We're not talking about ocean spray either.
After 10 minutes of discussion, it came to us like an epiphany.
Yeah. Like an epiphany. Right. It was a slow-moving epiphany.
Yeah, but it got there.
All right.
What do you want to do, Max? You want to do this?
You want me to go first?
I want you to go first. Yeah. I want you to set the tone. I want you to get us going.
Am I
going to
set the tone?
1 to 10, blown arteries.
Go just Gumbo. Talk.
If I'm going to have to set the tone, I'm going to have to go with 6 blown arteries.
6. There you go.
Yep. I liked a lot of things about the movie. I liked the storyline. I liked a little bit of the originality of it, but there were some major problems as far as plot holes and believability issues. They wanted this to be a believable film, and there were several scenes that completely took me out of that and blew that believability factor for me. So
it blew your arteries.
It blew my artery completely out of my head. I was sitting there frustrated, pounding my fists on my thighs, and my neck looked like the Incredible Hulk. I'm going to have to go with 6 blown arteries.
Yeah, it had some strong heat to it, though, a little bit of ambition, so you're going to give it a 6.
Yep.
We're going to go over to Matt St. Hoodie, the patron saint of quality outerwear, and he's going to tell us 1
surprised.
Through 10 blown arteries, what you're going to go with.
I understand what Max is saying.
Mm-hmm.
I still really enjoyed the movie. I'm teetering between an 8 and a 9.
Whoa.
What?
Hey, a lot of people like this film.
Yeah, go figure.
Just like Kelly.
Didn't see that coming.
Wait, are you going to teeter? She's teetering between an 8 and a 9.
Nope, she said 8.5.
Well, that's teetering.
Well, nope, that's very definite 8.5, which I can't do. I'm between the 8 and a 9.
But we do know we're going to go to Savage here.
Drama.
Hard sub Savage. What are you going to do, man? Blown arteries. Blow my mind.
Yeah, I liked a lot of this movie. There's some I didn't like. So I'm going to follow with Max with the 6 blown arteries.
6.
I'm at a 6 with this.
Greatest producer in the history of the Q Film Cast. Go.
Well, y'all all know I've been wanting to pick this movie for a very long time.
Shocker.
So just to get this out of there, and I know y'all are going to
say 10. Say 10.
9.
All right, man. So it leaves it up to me to round it off.
Yep. We're waiting.
All right. Well, you know, let me tell you something. I don't gravitate to these films. Is that a secret?
No, typically, I don't.
I mean, I've never seen a Saw film. Let me put it that way. And I just don't. I just don't do that.
You're missing one good movie.
Exactly.
Yeah. And please make sure I miss the other 48 that came along behind it. Okay. I'm going to give this a 7 because, you know, when you have lower standards and you're not expecting much, sometimes it can surprise you. I'm going to go with 7 on this thing.
Okay.
Maybe that's what happened to me.
All right. So there you go. And,
that's a 36.
Max to the Max Johnson. That's been retired. You're Max Gumbo Johnson.
Or,
well, remember it. Or as Matt wants to call me,
known around town as Gumby Bears.
I don't live in that town. Tell me why you gave it a 6. I want you to talk about basically the essence of the film, how it all came together for you, what worked, the highs, the lows, a little bit of that. Just talk about the film, man. Why'd you give it a 6?
Okay. If you've known anything about Korean films, they've really upped their game in the past few years. They're making some pretty good movies. This guy, I really liked Tale of Two Sisters. I have not seen Good, Bad, and the Weird yet, but, and I like the guys in this movie. I've seen them in a few things, and, you know, especially Old Boy. They're good actors. The revenge tale, which is what this is, has been done over and over and over. It puts a little bit of a twist on it, and I enjoyed it. And a lot of people say, well, I don't like it. I don't like the grisly violence. And I was watching the movie, and I did not expect it to be that violent. I was like, wow, this is really one of the most violent movies I have ever seen.
It's
I was
jarring.
Surprised
it's
at how violent it was. But along the way, I couldn't make up my mind if the director wanted this to be more of an exploitation movie, or if he really wanted us to give something to think about. And it seems like he wanted to have it both ways. He wanted to make it an exploitation movie and show the grim reality of what a serial killer might do, and show all this grim, brutal violence, almost for exploitation's sake, it seemed to me. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, he's like, okay, I want to have a great moral to this story. And I think in a movie like that, that's a real fine line to be able to pull off. They've tried to do it time and time and time again, and it's rarely succeeded.
Yeah.
I think one movie that it has succeeded in is Irreversible, which was a great movie with some stunning violence. No, Unforgiven, no. That doesn't even compare to some of the violence in some of these other movies. Irreversible, it succeeded. This movie, I don't think it succeeded. The only thing you come away with after watching this movie is the grisly, gory violence. And I'm not opposed to that. I've seen some horribly violent
movies. When it earns it, that's the thing with me.
Right.
Yeah, I think this movie, it was there, but the whole moral of the story was like, you know, you can't become a monster to catch a monster.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
It just, it didn't play out for me.
Okay.
It didn't play out. It seemed, it rang hollow. It rang real hollow after with, all the, let me ask all this the question. Violence.
With script in hand, these actors, with script in hand, do you think they did a good job with the material?
Oh, I think they did a great job with what they had. I think they did an extraordinary job.
Yeah, that filled the gaps for me. I thought
everybody
was
good in it. Yeah. I don't think there was any weak performances, but you can't have your cake and eat it too. You got to pick a side, as far as I'm concerned. And I think he picked more of the more.
And by the way, they didn't eat cake in this film.
No,
just to let you know.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. There might have been some cake in that mess he was looking for his tracker there.
Yeah, maybe. So.
I don't know what was in there.
It was one's cake, maybe. All right, man. Let's get back to some of these scenes here in a minute, and we'll let you wrap some of that up here too later on. But let's get over to Matt St. Hoodie. You gave it a little higher than that. You went high on this thing. What buzzed for you? Let's throw you on this one. What do you got?
To respond to Max, he's calling this either saying that this has to be an exploitation movie or a thinker movie, kind of. Is that basically it?
That's not exactly what I'm saying. It wants to be both. It wants to give you something to really think about, but the overall arc of the story that it wants to, the message it wants to drive home is so overshadowed by the violence that the moral of the story rings kind of weak for me.
No, I disagree with that.
Okay.
It was incredibly violent, but the violence, it didn't add or detract. I mean, at the end of this movie, when he's, you know, the very last scene, I was thinking about the moral of the story. The violence really didn't have any sway on me at all.
You found it necessary?
Yeah. I mean, necessary, entertaining, yes. Necessary, probably not. You could probably have done the same thing, only, you know, toned it down. But it didn't bother me in the slightest. I didn't even think about this as an exploitation movie until you brought it up.
Okay. Oh.
I mean, I can see where you're going, no doubt, but... The violence really had no sway on the story for whatever reason for me.
And don't get me wrong, I didn't mind the violence at all. I'll be the first one to admit, I love some really violent movies.
Yeah, see, and I'm the opposite. I'm not the guy that like goes to a movie because I'm going to see blood spraying on walls and, you know.
I am.
That's me.
All right, so that's not me. So that makes sense that I'm not the guy who's like, you know, latching onto that, being like, that's why this was a good movie. And to be honest with you, through the first hour of this thing, I was kind of like nodding off. And then it kind of kicked into like the cat and mouse thing. And I was like, oh, that's really actually pretty interesting.
Yeah, I didn't see that coming either. And that is a very refreshing take on this particular storyline.
Right. And at that point, it was kind of like, well, all right, so I saw the devil.
Yeah.
Which one of these guys is actually the devil? Did they both see the devil? And I'm trying to put that together. And I'm really liking where this is going, that this guy basically, like you said, you can't become the monster to catch the monster. Right. And this story is saying you have to be the monster to catch the monster. And I enjoyed it.
Okay.
And at the end of it, you see the total collapse. He completely collapses, walking away. I mean, he knows what he's done, but it...
This thing was like a teeter-totter. It went up, it went down. This guy's on the high end, this other guy's on the low end. And right up to the very frame, it switched roles as far as who had the upper hand.
He was the bad guy. He was the
All
bad guy
All the way
in this one.
Through the entire thing. That ending scene to me was... I love the ending of this film.
I thought it was great.
Yeah, I'll get into that here in a minute.
It's literally one of the best endings of a movie I've ever seen. I did not see that coming.
I got to say, that bumped me up through all the splattering. That ending scene was fantastic and hashed out and deserved. You want to go over to Savage real quick and then get back into the scenes?
All right, whatever.
Are you anything else you want to add?
No.
You sure?
I mean, we got, another 45
minutes? Yeah, we got time to talk.
Because I know you really maybe saw a lot of details. Maybe I didn't even see
anything. I don't think I did.
But we'll find
you're
out.
We're both high guys.
Go,
you know,
Savage.
And Max and I are both low guys. Adam's high guy.
What did you give a 6, right?
6.
All right, go.
Yeah. I like Storm Shadow. So I was like, hey, it's Storm Shadow. Mm-hmm. So automatically I'm like, uh-oh, you messed up. You killed Storm Shadow's girl. So I was expecting, it's like, this is going to be kind of like a kick-ass movie, like Secret Service agent kicks ass of serial killer. Then it turns into, like Max said, it's like, it's surprisingly violent. It's like shockingly violent.
Yeah, it's like make the kids leave the room.
Yeah,
violent.
And it's like the absence of music violent. Mm-hmm. It's shocking, and it's like just in its simplicity, and it takes something. It puts you in a mood like some movies can do. It puts you in a mood. I got the feel the story is kind of basic. It starts out that way, for sure. It's very basic. When they found the body at the first, the girl's body.
Her head.
Yeah. And then that whole scene just was so cliche for me. It almost took me out of the entire movie. It's like, don't take pictures, you parasitic press.
Yeah. And then he falls down as he's trying to go up the hill.
Oh, and the head rolls out of the box.
Yeah.
That whole thing, it was almost like South Korea is trying to make an American movie for an American audience.
But you know what I thought about that scene? I thought it was very South Korean-esque. It kind of had that sensibility that comes out of these types
mob
of
mentality films.
Yeah.
Well, and maybe there's that, you know, but it was so cliche, and it was like, it almost took me out of it. It's like the whole thing, you know, regardless of the special effect or the awful effect of a head in the body, whatever.
Right.
And it took me out. And it's like, okay, you got to establish this is why the revenge happens.
Mm-hmm.
And then it turns into this revenge movie, which it's shot brilliantly. It's lit brilliantly.
It really
is. The film
is.
Craft of this thing is top notch.
These guys aren't chumps.
No, not at all. I'm not knocking that one bit. It is a beautifully shot film. It's professionally executed film.
Mm-hmm.
I think some of the sensibilities are lost. And so we're dealing with interpretations of things. And that's fine. You know, everything is interpreted in its own way. But then it turns into this basically, I've caught you, I'm going to torture you thing. And I don't like torture movies.
Right. I'm with you.
To watch this person catch and release this torture thing.
Like a cat playing with a mouse, it just keeps picking it up.
Yeah, and that bothers me. I mean, okay. It bothers me. Okay. And you can't say, oh, vindication, justification, you know, what is true justice?
Now you're talking about the moral premise of this film, yeah. Whether or not it's...
Well, I mean, we're talking about story.
Yeah,
we're
you're talking about whether or not it's valid. I mean...
You wouldn't have a movie if you didn't do that. It would have been a run-of-the-mill movie if you didn't do that.
I understand that.
I want that idea if what I'm watching should really be happening. I like that. It brings tension to the plot. Is this right? Is this wrong? Is it earned? Is it deserved? I mean, this film was full of that, so...
Yeah.
It doesn't have to always be right for me to appreciate it.
But it becomes very...
Mechanical?
It becomes formulaic. Right.
But it didn't. That's why this, I think, is one of the stronger movies that I've seen in a long time. First off, it didn't get into the cat and mouse thing for the first hour of the film. Maybe even more than that. And honestly, this Max is saying that a lot of the details, I think you said that, a lot of the details are being cut out of this in between scenes, and a lot of this stuff wasn't making sense. How did he get from here to here?
Yeah.
And I think that's just the director cutting off as much fat as he can, because he's got such a big... thing. On,
I mean,
you know,
if he went from, who knows how much footage he shot for this thing, if he went from 5 hours to 2.5, then yeah, there was some stuff cut out that,
yeah.
I don't know, we'll get into it.
Yeah, we'll get into some scenes.
Let's see what Adam has to say.
Let me get into it first. Well, actually, Adam, and then I'll round it out. Nice conversation there, Savage. Let's go over to the producer. You gave this high up on the chart.
Oh, yeah.
Go. What you got?
You know, he's talking about the exploitation thing. I didn't see it. The way I looked at it is, what would happen if this happened to one of your family members?
Yeah.
Would you be the same as this guy would be?
The answer is no.
No.
I think I'd be more violent than this guy.
I don't think that's...
I actually ask myself these questions during films, especially for the lead. How would I react? And I got to ask myself, would I do this? I think I might take pleasure immediately. My immediate response is I want to do this.
Okay. Yeah.
We all would take pleasure and
want to do it.
And this is more like a fantasy of this.
A fantasy, right?
This is us like vicariously living through this guy. Like, yeah, this happened. I'd do this, but...
There was a couple little things I was like, eh, on it. But you know what? This was such a great film, and I think it deserves to be known as a fantastic film.
All right. Well, listen, here's my rendition of this thing. I'm going to give this thing a shot. All right. Like I said before, I kind of avoid these films. I don't gravitate to them. Not because of the violence. I'm not like a big... It's not like it's the violence. You know what I'm talking about?
I didn't even notice the violence in this thing.
Really?
I mean, it was very violent, but that's not what I was like attracted to. That's not what I was noticing.
Listen, and for me to give a 7 to a film like this, that says a lot for me because, like I say, it's not the violence that turns me off on these things. It's always the vehicle that delivers this stuff to you. It's always almost always so juvenile, stupid, and inane.
Right.
I mean, most horror films are just
cliche.
It's carried into you on
cliche,
a stupid story.
Which is worse.
Incredibly cliche. Kind of like rom-coms.
Yeah.
Right? And just like I truly detest the girl getting married rom-com. You know what I'm talking about? There's so many of them. I completely detest the torture porn subgenre.
Oh, I can't stand that.
Of horror. And that's what I thought this was going to be. Just another torture porn juvenile film. I just find no entertainment value in it. That's why I said never watched Saw. But listen, you know, back to it, man. I got to give credit when things are done well. And the nice thing about being so turned off by something is that I think it also gives you an opportunity to look at it a little differently than those who don't get so turned off by this stuff. So when you're asked to watch something you know you're not supposed to like, that you're going to hate, in the back of your mind, you're really paying attention to see if this time you won't.
Right.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, absolutely.
So that is my vantage point. I'm looking at it from a different angle. And that was my mindset here. I was completely open-minded, and I love the opening frame of this film. The pre-credit stuff here is great. You're seeing the window wipers go up and down on this woman's car with her little something about she had on her rear mirror looked like eyes.
No, that was the killers, man.
That was on the angel wings.
That was him. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
My apologies. But even right from the very opening frame, I thought, okay, you're giving me a reason to keep watching.
Absolutely.
And everything about this film that I liked was that, okay, setup, delivery, I got it. Setup, delivery, I got it. And every scene just kind of click, 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 click. It continually gave me a reason to say, bring on the next set,
right.
Bring on the next piece, bring on the next part. And the whole film was like that. It really kind of fascinated me on top of just some really great filmmaking. And if that is the backbone of what I have to work with, I'll forgive all the cliche stuff, the head rolling out of the box and all that sort of thing, you know. It was just very well crafted. And it does deserve its praise. It takes a brutal medium, serves up something slick, new, and completely watchable if you're up for it. But the two things that stood out to me, the script and the acting. I thought the acting was good. I mean, come on. Obviously, it's a subtitled film, but I'm just talking about the presence on film.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
I have no problem with that.
I mean, the presence
all,
on film. I mean, I kept thinking, okay, at what point am I going to get tired of this guy?
That's
I never
exactly
did.
What I was thinking, too.
Okay.
The antagonist or the protagonist?
Actually, both of them. And which is which, yes. Because, you know, when this first thing started, I thought, okay, at the end of the film, he's going to catch this guy. I already had it in my mind. And it kind of comes in opposite. I mean, it takes maybe 30 minutes, 40 minutes to get there, 45.
Yeah.
But still, it really goes in reverse. It deconstructed all my preconceived ideas. I really liked that about the film, to where I forgave the violence. And once again, you get back down to the ending scene. That was fantastic because he looks up and goes, once again, the audience and you think that I'm really sorry. But I've just been doing that because I'm trying to get you to kill me because I want to win. Right down to the very, very end. And then you think that's how it's going to end, and it doesn't. The upper hand goes back one last time. And that cat and mouse thing really pulled me in. It's a very unique movie. This is a very good movie based on the idea that we're going to give you something different, because it did. Like the film, I'll give it a 7. And for me, that's quite a thing for a film like this.
For this film, yeah.
All right, Max, let's talk about some of these scenes, man, because there are a few. This is a 2-hour and 22-minute film, by the way.
Yeah.
Didn't feel that way to me. I don't know.
It did to me.
All right. How did you think this kind of came about when it set up that twist in the film where it goes to a different direction?
Here's my thoughts on the whole thing. I like the setup. I like the premise. I didn't mind the violence. You say you're not drawn to these quote unquote torture porn. This was not torture porn. In fact, I would like somebody to come to me and tell me exactly what is torture porn, because nobody's really defined it yet. Anyway, I enjoyed some of the graphic violence. I liked seeing the effects. I like that stuff. I'm fascinated by it. So it doesn't bother me at all. But when I found out, you know, when that big turn happened, when they had that huge fight in the arboretum, whatever they were in, the greenhouse.
Like a greenhouse.
The violence got so extreme. I mean, he was beating this guy in the head with this lead pipe, and then he started hitting his head on this rock. Like, okay, that would have killed somebody. This guy is dead. This is not Lord of the Rings. This is not a fantasy movie.
I literally just said this is a fantasy
movie. Okay, I see where he's going. So at this point, you're just trying to show violence just because, let's just see how much violence we can put into this thing.
There's a part when he beat him in the head and he had blood squirting out of his head.
Squirting out of his head.
He's going to survive that. And I'm totally with you on that.
And that took me out of the story. I enjoyed the story. I thought it was a nice twist on the revenge thing where he just...
Right.
Catch and release. Let the guy go. Because when he first got him, he beat him to beat the hell out of him.
Right.
But, all right. So
and then he drops all the money on him. I'm like, well, what's this? And he's just letting him go. I don't understand what's going on here.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then I was like, okay, I see what's going on. But that first beatdown scene where he actually caught him, that would have killed that dude. That would have killed him. And then when he caught him in the house and threw the fish hooks on the floor, started hitting him with the baseball bat.
Yeah.
Violently.
Yeah.
On the back of the head. That would have killed that guy. There were several scenes where there were fights.
Okay. Well, and different scenes.
You kind of had to suspend that.
You had to suspend
because
your disbelief.
Like you said, in the first scene in the greenhouse, when he puts his hand on the rock, and then, you know, the last scene in that is him just cracking his wrist, breaking his wrist.
Yeah.
And the next scene, the guy, you know, he's even got it. He's just like, you know,
I just sprained
his Achilles heel, and he's still walking.
Right.
That was the other thing. He cut his Achilles heel, which. I have to admit, has taken the place of the most painful heel scene from the Evil Dead.
Oh.
The Evil Dead pencil to the heel scene has now been supplemented by the Achilles heel cutting scene.
Right. Congratulations, I saw the devil.
You have topped the Evil Dead.
Nope, pencil scene.
No, you're crazy. You're just saying that because it's the Evil Dead. The violence in this thing was extravagant.
All right, so
it was.
Let me follow your train of thought here. What you're saying is that they were too eager to just lay it on thick, lay it on thick, lay it on thick.
I think they
were. That it took away from the story. I'm kind of with you on that aspect because I thought, well, God, he just killed the guy. And I'm like, well, what do you mean he's not dead? He got beat in the head with a rock.
Yeah, he just beat him in the head with a rock 15 times, just rolls over and one eye opens. He goes, I'm like, wait. You're not going to be awake. You're going to be dead.
I forgave it, though. I forgave it from that point.
Same
with the police chief at the end when he gets nailed in the head with a dumbbell over and over again.
That guy is
killed
dead.
Anybody. Yeah,
and if
but
you haven't
still alive at the end.
If you haven't seen this film, too, it is excessively violent, especially blows to the head. Or maybe, busted arteries like we talked about.
Maybe they're trying to pull the punches. We don't know.
I don't know.
Okay.
Maybe, yeah, maybe no, it's more no. like that.
I have a theory.
You don't know.
What scene do you think? You're talking about the scenes that didn't work. Now we're going to fold back into scenes that did work.
I want to pull up
the chase scenes work?
I want to pull up one more scene that didn't work that went completely off the wall.
What is it?
Was the street shootout and the hospital escape. You have completely got to suspend your disbelief. Street shootout, no way.
There was no shootout.
Where he knocks the
door
off.
He's walking in the middle of the street and he knocks the door off the cab and swings around like he's John McClane and Die Hard.
Yeah, we've never seen that before.
There's no guns. There's
and that's my point.
South Korea, guns.
Max, can I ask you a question? No, I don't understand that because you're going to watch this film with the idea that I'm going to suspend reality.
I'm not watching this movie with the idea that I'm going to suspend reality because when it starts out as a serial killer and a police procedural. I'm going,
but this is a secret agent.
No, this is what I'm in for. I'm in for a realistic portrayal of a guy hunting this guy.
All right. Okay.
And it completely goes off the rails, almost cartoonish violence.
Yeah. Okay.
That added to my pleasure of the movie, though.
1 second, Savage. We'll wait 10 seconds.
I enjoyed the over-the-top violence. I think it's
a better movie because of the over-the-top violence.
But in combination with it trying to be a moral tale and being a realistic film, you can't mix the two. It's got to be one or the other.
Okay. I understand his take on it.
I do, too. But it's not like, Adam was saying, like, the police chief getting the crap beaten out of him, and then you had the serial killer getting the crap beat out of him, and then you had a whole bunch of other people all getting the crap beat out of them equally. Mm-hmm. And they're all still getting up and walk away. So it's not like just one guy was the super tough guy that got up and did it. This is kind of the world that's been set up for it. So you can, like, believe it or not believe it. This is kind of this is what you're in for.
Yeah, I'm with him on that. In this world, this is okay.
But
and I'm like,
all
right, fine, I'll sign up.
But it's not set in that world. It's set in this world, world. It's
okay.
Hoodie,
I'm with you on that, too. It asks you to enter this idea, enter this realm with me. And once I realize that, you're not just going to show me violence. You're going to show me something good. Okay, I'll go into that world with you, and I can suspend that, although Max makes a valid point.
It is a valid point, but it's not just like one guy was tough and he was killing everybody with like a snap of his hand. Everybody was equally super tough in this movie to the point of it was just absurd. But, it actually added to...
I'm going to eat more South Korean food.
Okay. You know, I guess it just comes down to sensibility because you're both right. I mean, you're both right. Savage, what do you got? Go.
No, go, Hoodie. I mean, you're not finished.
All right, back to the car chase. That was, way over the top. I thought it was awesome, and my favorite part of the whole thing is when he gets him in the car, and the last scene is him just driving away. They didn't waste a lot of time with the cops actually in pursuit of him, like going through the town.
Yeah,
this whole movie was basically this guy against this guy, and every third party, except for anybody being killed, was pretty much cut out of this. And that they really focused everything on this guy versus this guy through the whole thing.
Yeah,
and I think that's why I enjoyed it so much.
That's why I enjoyed it this much. Yeah.
So that's it.
I think, just to interject real quick here, that was one of my problems with the movie is if it would have strictly been this guy versus that guy, a real cat and mouse chase going back and forth, catch and release, instead of having all this other stuff with the family members involved, because you had to suspend a lot of disbelief with some of that family member stuff. It's like, why didn't he call her on the cell phone? How come this guy didn't have police protection after the girl got killed? Why didn't they do this? Why didn't they do that? Have his fiance get killed and be pregnant. Don't worry about the rest of his family.
Yeah,
they had to keep kicking it up a notch.
Yeah.
Like, this guy, got the better of him here. Now he's got to get the better of him with the family. Now he's got to get the better of him. So who's going to win at the end? Does anybody win at the end?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
And then, they had to keep kicking it up a notch.
No, I mean, I agree with you on that part.
But, well, I think there's a structure to this film. And when I was watching it, the first time he lets him go, or he catches him and he lets him go. He saves the girl. He catches him and lets him go. And then he catches the taxi and then the passenger in the back.
I didn't like that scene. That's the scene I did not like.
And here's the thing. Here's the initial thing. And this is what they established in this scene. When he finally realizes it's unlucky for you, and then he, spoiler alert, he kills the cabbie and the passenger, and then realizes that they're bad guys. It's they were killers. I mean, they had a body in the trunk.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That was weird to me,
the thing. It's like, okay, immediately he hears that happening because he has the tracker. It's like, those murders are on you because you let this guy go. These people are dead because you let this guy go.
That's what I thought as well.
They were bad guys. And so it's okay.
It was a little too convenient.
Exactly.
A little too convenient. And
that's what happened.
But so by the way,
he's like Dexter.
Yeah, we're talking about the 2010 film. Dexter. 2010 film, I Saw the Devil.
Right.
Yeah.
And so the next time he catches him, he's doing something really bad and he saves that day.
Yeah.
He saves it. He saves the nurse. He lets him go again. And then he's with the serial killer club. He goes back to his serial killer friends.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's okay. Whatever's happening there is fine. And he can be damaging there because
why he's chasing him constantly. He wanted to break him down mentally and physically.
And I understand the revenge aspect of this, and I can understand the motivation for primal revenge. I have zero problem with that.
As a matter of fact, I like that premise in films. I like to watch films about revenge. Yeah,
oh, yeah.
So. I do too. You know, and the concept, the moral of this story, the theme of this story is to become a monster, to beat a monster.
Mm-hmm. That didn't really.
It's a tragic story, you know, where you have to sacrifice your goodness to overcome evilness. All that aside, there were a lot of like just convenient plot devices in this.
Yeah,
and I don't know if that's like immature filmmaking. Or immature writing. It did seem like it was a very American film for an Asian film, you know?
Okay, all right. I was waiting for that.
No, it looked very American. I mean,
no, it didn't look American at all to me. And that's why I go back to the head rolling out of the box. I said it looked very much for a Korean film sensibility. I mean, you know, it almost kind of becomes cartoony, almost like it's pages out of a comic book.
Yeah.
And it had that kind of lingering in the background during this film. And to me, that's very Asian in its approach. But let me just jump in here. Let me tell you what I think. The thing that I really liked about this film, you talk about convenience, and it kind of goes back to the film we reviewed not too long ago, Bronson, where the guy he kills happens to be a pedophile, so it's okay. There was a little bit of that in here. The only scene that I don't understand is the cab scene. We don't get into too much of that. I don't understand why that was even put in there. It was very strange to me. But what I did love about this film were basically how the scene was streamlined. For example, I'm looking at this film going, oh, it's 2 hours and 22 minutes. How much crap are they going to give me that I don't want? I don't think there was much in here that didn't need to be in the film. It all worked. For example, like in the beginning, all I needed to know was exactly what they gave me. She's stuck in the snow. She's calling her husband. Oh, look, he's part of a special agent group. And apparently he's pretty much a badass because they're all saying yes, sir, no, sir. Within literally 10 seconds, I knew that he was the best at his job. He loved his wife because he kept sneaking away singing lullabies to her. Aww. And then she stuck in the snow. I mean, this film was really tight on the setup. Every scene was like that. It just kind of just said, here's what it is, roll with it. And I like that. The one scene I want to talk about, Adam, I'm going to ask you about this one. Do you think that it was a little ill-placed with the brother and the cannibalistic brother? I thought that gets into Max's territory that in there?
The whole thing could have been cut out.
I thought that could have been cut out.
Completely.
Yeah.
No, I don't. He had to find out that was the information that he needed later. So he
could have done that another way. No problem.
Yeah, I thought that was a little heavy-handed.
I didn't hate how they did that, though. I mean,
I didn't hate it, but they could have done it some other way lot easier.
And it gave him more people to kill, so.
Yeah. It did.
It made me hungry. I mean, it's an action plot.
I didn't
plot.
Mind the fact that he went and met this guy and did all this stuff, but the fact that it had to be a cannibal, that was kind of ridiculous.
Yeah.
And then him going down and having all the body parts, I thought that was kind of dumb. But other than that, I thought it was pretty good at that point, you know, if they could just took out those little shots of him.
No,
I thought that was great.
It was shot brilliantly. Kind of the whole movie is brilliantly.
It is a good looking film.
It really is.
Man.
But with that, with the house, so you had a big extravagant house.
Yeah.
And you had a guy and a girl eating people.
the girl, I forgot
about
her.
But it looked like that he kind of broke into the house, killed the people who owned it, threw them in the fridge, and now they're living there. So how did this guy know to find that?
Did it bother you that it was their logic problem?
They lived there.
And there were a lot of logic problems, like when he's killing the guys in a taxi. He doesn't have a seatbelt on. When that hits a rock on the side of the road, he's going through the windshield. That's
I'm going to take your phrase. He just coined a phrase, logic problems.
Yeah.
There were a lot of those.
Yeah, with the tracking device. Problems. I mean, the guy ate it and he could still hear him.
But in the end, that relationship and that flip-flop between him and him carried me through. But there are some logic problems in this film. And one of them is this cannibalistic brother. Why? Why does he have to be a cannibal?
Why not?
I don't mind that he was a cannibal, but that's why I go back to the exploitation side of this. It's like, well, Why have that? Just so you could have this guy eating people? And the one thing I did like about that whole sequence was that the main killer was disgusted by this guy. Said, yeah, eating too much of that will rot your brain.
That's right. That's right.
It's like he was disgusted by these people because they were a bunch of cannibals.
He was a Wendigo.
I don't know if you noticed this, but I noticed that the main guy, old boy, every person that he encountered, he called crazy bastard. It's like, you're crazy bastard.
Yeah,
you're crazy bastard. I'm not...
That every also person. Set a precedence, too, because the cannibal was like, oh, you're a crazy bastard. And he looked at him. He's like, what'd you call me?
That's right. And that was a great scene.
And they had that face off, too. Yeah. You know, God. Two I'm very alpha killers staring each other down, and cannibal backed off like, oh, I'm just joking. So that shows, like, the power that whatever old boy or whatever had.
Yeah. How often do you see a film like this, and for me, this is what's unique about it, being put together by the relationships between the people in the film. To me, that is always just a backdrop thing. It's just like, blood, blood, gore, gore. To me, that was what I liked. Every time there was a relationship on film, I liked it. I liked the relationship with him and his wife before she was died. He's singing her lullabies. I liked the relationship you just talked about between the two brothers because there was something really odd there.
Right.
I love the relationship between the two guys chasing each other. The relationships in this film were strong, despite what Max says, all the illogical stuff, which, God, the more I think about it, there was a bit of that one.
There's a ton of it.
A ton of it. But again, listen, tons of it.
But I'm like done. I'm stepping out of this thing. You guys go ahead and wrap up your final thoughts on this film.
I'll go first.
Yeah.
I was entertained by the movie the whole way through, but some of the just crazy, cartoonish, crazy beatings and silly stuff in it completely made it sort of a wash for me. It was a well-made film. I like the story. I like the acting. Mm-hmm. That's why I stick with the six.
Okay. All right. But yeah, you got to give it some craftsmanship too, huh?
Oh, it was well done. About it.
Hoodie, what you going to go with, man? Wrap this thing up. No, you gave it a high rating. I think we're kind of in the same vein here on this thing.
Yeah. The violence and the gore, that didn't sway me one bit. I think the theme of this is what I really latched on to. And then through the whole thing, I'm looking at the killer and then the cop, and both of them are the devil. So the title, I Saw the Devil. Who's the devil? Is this cop seeing this guy as the devil? Is this killer seeing him as the devil coming after him to, give him what is due? Have they both seen the devil to get where they are chasing each other? So there's a lot of things happening here, and I really like seeing how they just played off of each other and seeing how just awful these guys could get to each other, how much that actually meant. What were they willing to sacrifice?
And it's ambiguous, too, because I don't think it ever answers that question.
Well, it did to me, but I tend to do
that.
Not
to me.
Not to me? Okay.
Yeah, they're both the devil. They're the devil.
Oh, and then the ending, too, man. You know, one real brief nod to that ending. He's holding that guillotine with his teeth, and he did get him because he says, you can't break me. You have nothing that can break me. And in walks the kid. Good stuff.
Right, but the very ending, he's walking down the street, he takes the headphones out, and for the first time since his fiance's died, he just breaks down.
He didn't look like...
It's not like he just broke down and they cut away. He broke down, and the camera stays on him and lets him break down. For the better part of a minute.
He didn't look like a man that won anything.
He didn't. He lost everything. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that's really the point of the movie, so...
Yeah.
And that's great. And then that's the final scene for me.
Maybe
is watching this guy.
Maybe he saw the devil in himself.
Obviously. So
I have one quick comment about that last scene where he's walking away. If you go back and watch it, is he laughing or is he crying?
Both.
He's crying.
He's both.
He's crying.
He is he's wailing crying. But yeah,
go back and watch it again.
If you did all this stuff, where are you going to be mentally, right? So
I know where I would be, but when I watched it, I was like, I can't tell if he's laughing. I can't tell.
Did
you
consider
crying.
That? I might revisit it for that.
No, I did. Yeah. He was absolutely weeping and he was laughing.
He was a broken man.
That's exactly what it is.
All right, the 2010 film, I Saw the Devil, Savage. What are you going to go with as far as a final thought?
No, I got to bump it up to a 7. Now that we're talking about it, it's like there's brilliant acting in this. Storm Shadow, Jong Jing Jing Hoon or whatever, but. Storm Shadow.
He's Storm Shadow.
Joan Jett or who?
Yeah. He's very emotive. I mean, he can drop a tear, and there is an intensity to his acting, silent acting that's an admirable. And old boy, there's a menace. There's a true just disregard and menace to his acting. And it's
that poor actor. He's going to be known as old boy the rest of his life.
Right? Well, but... And I don't mean that derogatively. Yeah.
It's
incredibly violent. A lot of it for us in this country will be
We almost went through.
It's cliche. I mean, there is not a lot of originality in the film.
Not in this vein. You're
it's translated. Not as the words you read on that television screen.
Yeah.
The way it's translated is not original. It's
No.
It's very rote.
Yeah. Well, let me just tell you what. Kelly O'Neill, thank you for giving us something to talk about, because this is an original film. To me, anyway, whether you love it or hate it, you don't see a lot like it. We can all give it that, right? There's not a lot like this.
Death Wish?
It's original.
It's original to a certain extent. Adam, you want to add anything? Bookend this thing? What you got?
Y'all are talking about all this.
Because you've added so much.
Yeah. Most Asian films are over the top.
Yeah, they really are.
So you've got to go with
of a different sensibility.
Yes. Go with how they film movies.
Yeah.
Right.
And they're always over the top.
Watch The Host. Yeah. You'll know what I'm talking about. Yeah.
Sounds like a stereotype.
Who, one guy's in there.
Is he really? Okay,
yeah,
I figured that.
I'm going to keep my mouth shut.
But you have to give the film
this. This is an extremely beautifully shot movie, great story, and it's well worth watching.
Yeah, I mean, there's some stuff here to really grab onto, but that is our 2010 film. I saw The Devil, and it did inspire. By the way, real quickly, what's the
score? Ended up at a 37.
We have 37 broken arteries, or what do you call it?
Bust arteries. Blown arteries.
All right. So, guys, this did inspire, once again, our top three demented movie characters. All right.
Deranged.
Not, what's it? Is there a difference?
Yes.
All right. Deranged. We're going to go with this.
Definitely a difference.
I'm going to let Kelly. Kelly. This is our Kelly appreciation episode.
Jeez.
Lead us off. What?
So, in other words, it's Kelly.
What the hell's wrong with me?
Kelly.
What's her name?
Her
name's Kelly.
No, that's much
worse. Where's she from? Canada.
No, she's from the Big E. She's from the big oil country. She's from Edmonton, Alberta. And her number
three. Canada.
Thank you. Her number three most deranged movie character is John Doe, Kevin Spacey from Seven.
That's a good one.
We're talking about sheerly demented, completely demented. I'm going to go to my right. Let's go straight to the producer. Number three, demented film characters. Blow my mind. What you got?
Meatball Girl.
The chick from Audition.
Don't know what that is.
She's crazy. She is crazy.
Does she kill people?
She ties them up in a bag and tortures them.
Does she eat people?
She tortures them.
Where can we meet her?
In the movie.
On the interwebs.
Takashi Miike.
Sounds like a Japanese film.
It is.
Okay, so number three, Max. What's your three most, number three? We're talking about the 2010 film that inspired our top three deranged movie characters. What's your number three?
I'm going to have to pick this on the fly. Number three, I'm going to have to go with Kakihara from Ichi the Killer.
My God.
Oh, yeah. I thought about that.
Did you think that's funny?
I really thought about it. He is incredibly crazy.
Does he kill and eat people?
Oh, he kills anybody and anybody he can get his hands on.
He actually wants people to kill him. That's how deranged.
Yeah.
And masochistic this guy is.
That's disgusting.
He is disgusting. I almost went with Ichi, but I had to go with Kakihara.
All right. Well, this guy's not disgusting. I'm talking about the patron saint of quality outerwear. Number three, what is it? You demented, deranged man. What's number three?
I got to go with a Joker. Pick one.
You pick one.
Heath Ledger.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, go Heath Ledger. Yeah.
You got to go. You have to.
You got
to
go.
But you can just go the Joker generally. Yeah. The general Joker.
Yeah.
So if you had to pick the craziest Joker, I'd go with Heath Ledger.
Is he the most deranged person with the highest IQ? He's probably pretty smart. He's a pretty smart guy.
Yeah.
Which makes him even more terrifying.
I think he's got military background.
He was a magician in one story. He's crazy.
What?
Well,
he got his face cut off?
Red helmet or whatever?
Yeah. It's Red Hood.
Red Hood. I'm sorry, excuse me.
That's Robin.
How about, excuse
me for not having my nerd cred ready for Red Helmet versus Hood.
Nerd cred.
I am a nerd.
I'm a nerd. I stand up for the rights of other nerds, and I stand up for the right of this nerd to tell me he's number three, and that is James Hartsub Savage.
Malcolm McDowell, Caligula. Caligula.
Max, you're going to back him up on demented?
Yeah, he was a nut.
Deranged. You're going to back him up on deranged?
He banged a horse.
That sounds like a lonely man to me.
Nope, that's strange.
That's deranged?
Yeah.
He literally banged his own horse because he wanted to marry it.
I just call that lonely and out of beer is what I call that.
Really?
No, sorry.
Is that what you do when you're lonely and out of beer?
I don't know. How much more beer do I have?
Don't come to my house if you're that lonely and I don't have any beer.
You got a horse? Listen.
That's the problem. I don't have a horse.
My number three, you know what it is? I'm going to go against the grain. This person killed nobody, but my God, is she deranged. That's Nurse Ratched. Demented. She enjoyed seeing people mentally abused. That's Nurse Ratched. I went there. Yeah, I did.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a female.
One flew over the cuckoo's nest.
Yeah.
But she met her match.
She did meet her match. Producer, you glorious man, what's number two?
A Woman in Black from Inside.
Don't know who this person is.
Oh. Yeah.
Is this good?
Yeah. She was crazy.
What's wrong with her?
God.
She ripped the baby out of a pregnant woman.
With a pair of scissors.
Are you serious? Like salad tongs? Yeah. Like salad tongs or scissors?
That is also one of the most violent films I've ever seen. Yeah.
What's the name of this film?
Inside.
I'll never watch it. What's your number two?
You sure? No, you never going to see that.
Number two, another Asian movie. The Asians do crazy. They do it good. I'm sorry. Wang Chi-Hang from the Immortal... The Eight Immortal Restaurant, The Untold Story, this guy was a complete lunatic.
What did he do that was lunatic?
He raped a woman with a pair of chopsticks.
You got me. That's it.
chopsticks. Is that enough? Is that enough?
We're good. Moving on.
What?
The Untold Story. You have to see it. One of the most violent, disgusting films I've ever seen.
Hoodie, you're up to number two, man. What do you have for us? What is it?
I'm not even in the same league with these guys.
I don't know.
Right? This is ridiculous. I went with Daniel Plainview.
Really?
Yep. You think he's deranged?
Yep.
Yeah, he is deranged. He became... Kinda. Well, yeah, he beat a guy with a bowling pin, for Christ's sake.
Yep.
Yeah.
After he damned him. So.
We could debate this all night.
Nope.
No, he's deranged.
In that movie?
He's deranged.
I think the preacher was worse.
I didn't know.
That's part of that film, is who's more deranged. That's the backbone of that thing.
We'll get into that later.
Yeah. Good choice, Hoodie. I like that choice. Daniel Plainview. It's an interesting deranged, but it's deranged. It is deranged. It's a power, it's power hungry deranged.
One hell of a good show, son.
Yeah.
He's so hungry.
What was Kelly's number two?
Oh, Kelly's number two. Yeah, you ready for this?
Yeah.
Kelly says for number two, and I think you're the only one who may be able to grab onto this one. She says The President from Sallow or 120 Days of Sodom.
Oh, my God.
How is this deranged?
Just him? What about the other three people?
I have not seen this film. Is this a solid choice for deranged?
Oh, yes. Oh, God. Is it deranged? They make people eat human feces filled with nails.
What?
And then when they don't eat it, they urinate on them.
What? And this is a movie?
It's a very difficult movie to watch.
You really? What part?
I've seen it once.
Sounds like a really crappy film.
But a bumps.
Whatever.
You nailed it.
All right. What? Oh, boy. Okay.
It's a good movie, though. It actually is a good movie.
It's a good movie. And, yeah, okay. Let's get
Travis
something out
Bickle,
of number.
Taxi Driver.
Taxi Driver.
Can't.
You son of
bitch. He became deranged. You're absolutely right.
But he came back, so does that count? Because I thought about him.
He was like a self-righteous deranged.
Yeah.
But no, he went crazy, no doubt, but then he came back.
Yeah, he's deranged.
You can't come back from crazy.
You know what I'm finding out, Hoodie? There's different kinds of deranged. There's self-righteous deranged. There's sexually deranged. He was self-righteous deranged.
Yeah, it was lost
no, because he was sexually deranged too, right? With
in
the
his
porno
own world,
the first date.
He came back, but he was still deranged. I don't think he thought Betsy was still in love with him.
You want to know what my number
I'm
two
saying
is?
You can't come back from deranged.
You want to know what my number two is?
No.
Yep.
Ain't no thang but a chicken wang, and that is Killer Joe.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Killer Joe was deranged. Yeah, that is the best chicken leg scene I've seen ever. That
is there a number two chicken leg
scene?
Yeah,
what's your second favorite chicken leg scene?
I don't know.
It will forever change your vision of a chicken wing.
Yep, KFC or bust, buddy.
They might as well need to make another chicken leg scene because it will not beat that.
Let me ask you a question. Was that extra original or extra crispy?
It was extra sloppy at the end.
All right, my number two is Killer Joe's.
Recipe.
Yeah, we're talking about food deranged. Adam, look at that. There he is. He's right here. He's going to give us his number what
one.
One. We're up to ones. Go.
Martin from Human Centipede 2.
Max is the...
This guy is completely nuts. If you ever seen
I've never seen this film.
I'm going with Adam on my number one.
You think he's the most deranged.
Yes.
He is... Oh, God.
Watch it.
Have you never seen
a word?
No.
Why would I watch this thing?
It's just awful.
Have you seen this, Matt?
Yep. One of the best movie villains of all time.
Nope.
Hands down.
Is he deranged, Hoodie?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I think I like a better deranged.
I wanted to pick something different after he said that, but I cannot change my number one. He is the ultimate
most deranged.
Number one craziest deranged person I've ever seen in a movie.
Do you think that Nurse Ratchet, Killer Joe, and the Joker would all look at him and say, man, you're deranged?
Yeah, they would like, whoa, you're way out of my league.
Savage, what got for your number one,
no,
man?
No, it's Hoodie, right?
Yeah. Oh, Hoodie, I'm sorry. Oops, boink.
No, I'm going with a very cliche, iconic, home on deranged.
home on deranged.
Jack Shining.
He's deranged.
Jack Torrance, yeah.
He's haunted deranged.
He is the face... of deranged.
Yeah. We have haunted deranged. We have fecal deranged. We have self-righteous deranged. And we have this guy who's probably deranged. And that's Savage. What's your number one?
I got to go with military deranged. I'm going with Sterling Hayden, Brigadier General Jack D. Ripper from Dr. Lovejoy.
Dr. Strangelove.
Lovejoy.
That's from The Simpsons, by the way.
Dr. Lovejoy.
Yeah.
Oh,
Dr. Strangelove. He was so freaked out, and he caused a nuclear war. Sterling Hayden. Dr. Brigadier General Jack the Ripper from Doctor Strange.
I'm going to go with you on that. I haven't seen it. I'll assume
you haven't seen Doctor Strange.
You've never seen that?
Oh, well, yeah, it's been a long time.
You got to learn to love the bomb.
It's been a long
time. Beat down on Michael time.
Shut up. Listen, let me get mine out of the way. There is no more quality. I'm going to call it quality deranged, and that is the Joker. The Joker, Heath Ledger.
Oh, you got number one?
I got number one, man. Wow. I got to go with that because to me, that just defines cinema deranged.
It was perfect.
Which is a character.
Yeah.
He wore purple, for Christ's sakes. Who does that? No, I guess it's the year for purple.
It was a well tailored suit, too.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to run through Twitter. I obviously.
Actually, what did Kelly give her number one?
No, it's Kelly. Yeah. Oh, my God. What is wrong with me?
Don't forget Kelly O'Neill.
Kelly, my apologies.
Oh, I want to hear Kelly's number one. I bet I know what it is.
You might be the only one because I've never heard of this film. Park Hyoing Gwai, Memories of Murder.
Don't know it.
Apparently, she's a fan of Korean
film. I'm going to have to watch this.
Let me spell this. Park, H-Y-E-O-N-G-Y-U.
That's not
Memories of Murder.
Memories of Murder.
Memories of Murder. The guy from Memories of Murder, she says that's her number one. I have no idea. I'm going to look into this, okay? Right. I put this out on Twitter as well. Almost said Facebook. Twitter as well. Listen to these real quick. Soviet Smirnoff at Brian Miller says, Otis and Baby from The Devil's Rejects.
Good ones.
Yes.
No, I know it.
Hold on a second.
Yeah, I know this one. Okay.
He knows
great
Kelly's.
Great pick.
Okay. Michael Ian at the No Call, No Show says, first thought it was Frank Booth from Blue Velvet.
Ah, that's a good one.
That is a good one.
Jamie Meyer, great name, once again, at JJ Meyer 35 says, The Human Centipede. Mm-hmm. Bobby H. at Kid Minneapolis says, John Doe from Seven. Cakeless, Dalton Brown at Cakeless Roses says, The Two Rapists in Deliverance. I can't remember the name. Also, The Rapist and I Spit on Your Grave. I think
yeah,
I see
just
a
rapist.
Which one and I Spit on Your Grave?
All of them.
I think pretty much any rapist.
That's the point. They're all rape.
No. Did anybody go with Fight Club?
No.
I thought about Tyler Durden.
I did too. It didn't make my top three.
Didn't make mine.
How about Kathy Bates in Misery? Because that's what Charles Whiteman. Charles Whiteman at Snob of Film said that. Killer Joe by Azel Abedi. At the Flick of It says Kevin in Sin City. Terrifying.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
That's actually a really good one.
We got Clockwork Orange.
No, but Dan at Movie Revolt says Henry from Henry.
Henry,
yeah, it's a good one.
Never seen it. Portrait of a Serial Killer.
Oh.
I've never seen it.
You loser.
I don't watch these films.
You're a loser. That's a good movie.
One. That's a good one.
Max, you may like this one because Sebastian Nebel says Robert Mitchum at Reverend.
Oh, Henry Powell.
Henry Powell.
Knight of the Hunter.
There you go.
Great movie.
Harry Powell, sorry.
Harry Powell.
Okay, guys, that's
that
it.
Was on my list.
Say,
go.
First of all, Marie from High Tension.
Yeah.
Sucks.
No, it was a good film.
No, it was not.
I got three honorable mentions I want to throw out there.
Go.
Max Cady from Cape Fear, Mr. Blonde from Reservoir Dogs.
Yeah, Mr. Blonde.
And one that probably nobody thought of, Walter Sobchak from The Big Lebowski.
What are you talking about?
I thought about that, and
he's
I said
he's kind of deranged.
Guys are crazy.
He's not deranged.
He's not deranged.
I got Norman from The Professional.
Oh, that's a good
Boom.
One.
Ooh, Stansfield.
He was messed up. What about the cut-up dude from that Christian Slater movie that time?
That was a good
romance?
One, too.
Yeah, you actually got that.
The cut-up dude.
Gary Oldman, same character.
Walter Sobchak. Come on.
Christopher Walken.
Nah, he's not.
Am I the only one that follows the rules around here?
How about the guy playing Russian roulette in The Deer Hunter?
They were forced to do
Christopher
that.
Walken?
Not those guys. The guy's making them do it. They were deranged.
They're crazy.
Christopher Walken
was
kind of deranged.
He could really stretch it from there.
That's why we say a top three.
Yeah. Whatever. You know what? Yeah, let's get on with it. Because I really want to have an honorable mention, too. I tried to pull something out. All right, guys. That's it. Our 2010 film, I Saw the Devil. There you go. It also inspired a top three deranged, demented. What is it?
Deranged.
Did anybody say Adam? We all know Adam pretty well. I don't think he's been in any movies that have been published.
No, there's a movie that's out.
Published.
It inspired our top three deranged movie characters, and that's what that
Thanks,
was. So,
Kelly.
You know what? This has been our Kelly O'Neill at Kelly UAINE from Edmonton, Alberta. You inspired a great episode here. Thanks for giving us something to chew on, something to talk about. No doubt about it. That's it, guys. 2010, I Saw the Devil, and this is also going to lead us into our big reveal.
Yeah.
Our big reveal, and that is Adam the Bomb Rogers.
Adam
Am I correct?
The Bomb.
Is this Adam's choice?
Yeah, it is.
Adam Cue it Bomb. Up, man. What you have next week? What you going with?
Harold and Maude.
Harold and Maude.
All right.
Yes.
How ashamed should I be to say that I've never seen this film?
I've never seen it.
Shame, sir.
Shame.
This movie
shame.
Is older than
you're
you.
So,
and
you're shaming me now, Columbo.
Have you seen this film, Max?
Yeah, I've seen Harold and Maude.
Good film.
It's a good movie.
Okay. Something worth
talking
about. You'll like it. Popped up on Netflix. It's an older film. Let's go there.
That's arguably the best love story movie ever.
Okay. I think we established that Eternal Sunshine was absolutely the
most. Well, this may beat it, but thanks to
April, May,
yeah, without all the fancy cinematography and effects and stuff.
All right. So that's next week. That is the film Harold and Maude, queued up by Adam, the producer. This was 2010. 2010. Well, thanks for the drama on that one. thanks for the suspense. That's the 2010 film I Saw the Devil, guys. There you go. We'll see you next week when we cue it up and we, I used to say knock it down.
Say it again.
Cue it up and knock it down. That's Harold Mott next week. Thanks a lot.
Can't seem to face up to the facts. I'm tense and nervous. Can't relax. Can't sleep. Bed's on fire. Don't touch me, I'm a real live wire. Psycho killer, qu'est-ce que c'est? Fa, 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 f